that again. It's been good for me. I really enjoyed it. I've been able to find some nuggets that I hadn't seen before in other classes that I was able to teach in. Get hooked up here. So the book of Luke is where we're at. And you can just open up to Luke. Let's try Luke 14. The book of Luke. Luke 14. See what Dr. Luke has to share with us tonight. If you remember last time, let me put a commercial in real quick. Don't forget our Stand for Life. If you're going to be in town that morning, I know we all live in a whirlwind. But if you are in town Saturday, October the 8th from 10 to 11, we'll be having our Stand for Life again. This will be our 11th year. And we basically line up in front of on Highway 27 South going towards, I guess, Rootville it would be considered, in front of Walmart on the sidewalk. And we form a line. There's times it's been all the way from Stripling Chapel all the way down to Verizon. So we get some churches that show up being their youth groups as well. So if you're going to be around and you can make it, I said on the radio Monday morning, you know, I've been saying it for several years, this is the most important election in our lifetime. And again, it's the most important election in our lifetime. If you look at the Supreme Court justices that we have there, we've got one vacant seat. But then we also have two other individuals who are 80 and 83 years old. And those seats more than likely will be filled the next 4 years. And so we've got three opportunities to be placing people in those positions who will be making decisions that will affect us and our children and our children's children as well. So it's going to be an important election. And we just pray the Lord's will that He raises up kings, He takes them down, you know. But tonight we're going to be talking about stewardship, and we all have to be good stewards. And so that's kind of where we're going to go tonight. Last time we talked about what's a disciple. And we talked about it being a follower, a student of another, a leader, a philosopher. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, to learn from him is to live like him, talking about Christ. But he also said to conform our ways to his words and his ways. To conform our ways to his words and his ways. Not my will, but thine will be done. Very important verse of Scripture. But we look at Luke 14:33. Something kind of jumped out to me that I really didn't get involved with last time, or maybe it was in my notes, I just never got to it. But look at Luke 14:33, and as we're talking about discipleship, you almost can talk about and use this verse of Scripture as discipleship 101. Luke 14:33 says this, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Forsaketh not all that he hath. Now, the first thing that came to my mind when I read that was, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you my goods and I'm going to give you all that I have. I'm going to forsake everything else and go your way. And that's somewhat true, but it's not necessarily true. What he's saying is whoever will forsake it, that means forsake it the things that the flesh wants. Sure, how many of y'all would be able to just stay at home tonight, get back in your recliner, kick back with a bowl of ice cream, watch TV and go to bed about 9 o'clock? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of y'all are liars, okay? Because y'all would, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Karen and I spoke about it. I said, you know what? I am so wore out. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I was in Tucker. I watched three production runs of Wendy's new multi-grain bun, which you got to go buy. It's the sandwich. It's $5. You get a sandwich, a chicken sandwich, a great bun, a fry and a drink for $5 at Wendy's. You got to go. The bun's great, out of this world. But and then coming home this evening and then fighting that sun coming out west. If you're going on I-20 going west, that sun starts hitting. You start napping about Six Flags Hill. You get down the hill. You wake up. You start going up towards Thornton Road, that whole area. You hit the sun again. You start napping. You get tired. Amen? Tonight would have been a great night to be able to stay at the house. Kick back a little bit. But you know what I said? I said, you know what? When he talks about that in 14:33, he says, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Sometimes we got to get out of that comfort zone and get into that uncomfortable zone. We say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired, I'm wore out, but there's got to be something that you're going to help me with or show me to help me to grow closer to you. Amen. And so that's what it talks about, discipleship 101. It talks about being absolute, unconditional. It says worship without reservations. There has to be no reservations in our worship. It's got to be Him and Him alone in all of our worship. It talked about heavenly choices and earthly choices are our mindset. It's heavenly choices versus earthly choices should be our mindset. But going back to Luke, again, we're talking about discipleship. Look at Luke 9:23. And look at what it talks to us about in 9:23. And look at what it says about one verse of Scripture that I read it last time. But I want to drill a little bit deeper into Luke 9:23 because there's so many pieces of gold that we can find in there and we really get in and mine it really well. And look and see what it says here. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross daily. Last time when I was up here, I left the word out daily a couple times and read it. And some of y'all finally picked up that I left that word daily out because every day we're supposed to be going after the Lord. Every day we're taking up our cross and every day we're following Him. These sayings, that word there, come after me and follow me, it's the most used phrase or the most set of words found in the New Testament. That verse of Scripture there with those words, you'll find it more often in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than any other thought or any other words of that meaning where it says, follow me. And it's not salvation. Got to remember who he's talking to here. These are already saved individuals who have accepted Christ. But what he's saying now, it's not salvation, but it's discipleship. He said, come after me. You've already been washed. You've already accepted me as your Savior. Now I want to disciple you and help you to grow forward. And that word, when it says, come after me and follow me, it's an adjective word. It means to be going and to be doing. But here's the difference. So often in our lives, we're going and we're doing and we're going and we're doing in our own flesh. But are we doing it willingly? And that's the key point. So often it's like, I got to go to church. I got to go to Wednesday night. I got to do, I got to do, I got to do. No, we're allowed to do it. We've been blessed to be able to worship the Lord. But it says to go willingly. Whoever will follow me can come after me, come, it says there in that verse of Scripture. So it talks about it being a willingness to go and to be a disciple, understanding that there's a cost. How many of y'all ever had to pay the price to be a Christian? I have. So often in my job, you got to remember, I'm in sales. And so often in my job, you know, salesmen, how can you tell when they're lying when they move their mouths, okay? I mean, that's just part of the MO that salesmen are given, okay? And in my line of work where I'm out with other individuals and I'm out making sales calls and out, I mean, a lot of times you're put in situations that you've got to make some strong decisions when you're sitting there. I mean, when you're sitting there before you eat and you bow your head and you ask the Lord to bless the food, 9 times out of 10, the people that you are with couldn't care less, okay? Or situations that you're placed into or the things that happen in our lives. So there's a price that he's talking about here to come after me, to be a disciple. It's self-denial. It's a denial of the fleshly wants. It's self-willingness to obey, serve, and daily occurrences in our lives. So that's what disciples are. If we are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, if we long to get to that level in our lives to be a true disciple, we've got to obey the commandments. We've got to serve one another, just like Jesus showed us in Scriptures. But it's got to be a daily occurrence in our lives. Why did Christ use, here's a thought that I came across when I read this thing over and over and over again. Why did Christ use that verse of Scripture? They're talking about, come and follow me. There's got to be a reason. When you read Scripture, I think I've said this before. It'll help you. It's helped me. When you read Scripture, just don't read it to say, I read 5 chapters today and I read 4 chapters on Monday and I read 6. Don't do it just because you've got this goal of reading Scriptures or reading chapters. Read it, slow down, and try to discern from it. Try to eat it just like you would that Wendy's chicken grilled sandwich with that great bun. Enjoy it. Savor it. Try to get something out of it. Okay? The same thing with Scripture. The same thought process proves itself. Take it, read it, try to understand it. Said, Lord, show me something in here that maybe you haven't shown me before. And that's what we see in 9:23. Why did Christ use that thought? Because He understands and He knows the trials that we're going through. He understands our daily routine, the things that we have to go through. Every time we go through physical health and trials in our physical health, He says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. When we're going through financial situations, financial issues in our lives, you know what He says? Come, follow me. When we're going through spiritual issues, spiritual trials, sometimes you feel like, the Lord's a million miles away. You just lost some spirituality. You just don't feel close to Him. He says, no, wait a minute. Come, follow me. When we're going through emotional issues, trials in our lives, when emotionally we're up and down, we're tired, we're wore out, we go through that Elijah syndrome where you've just went ahead and fought off all the prophets of Baal and you've run all those miles and you get to a point you said, you know what, Lord, I'm just ready to give up in my life. You're tired, you're wore out physically, you're wore out mentally, you're wore out emotionally. You know what the Lord says? Come, follow me. Marital issues, going through trials in your life and your marriage. Things just aren't working right. You don't have that closeness like you used to have. The Lord says, come, follow me. Family issues within your own family. It could be children, could be nieces, nephews, uncles, whatever it is. You're having file trouble. He says, come, follow me. Employment, you're not secure in your job. Things are going on. You're just not sure exactly what's going to happen. He says, come, follow me. But there's a reason why He says, come, follow me. Look at Matthew 4:19. I'm going to show you the reason why He says, come, follow me. Matthew 4:19. Remember what I told you. The most used words in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the deepest thoughts that were given in those four Gospels are all revolve around the word, come, follow me. And we see it in Matthew 4:19. What did I say? Yeah, Matthew 4:19. Look at what He says here. Who's here to bring me? Maybe I got the right verse. Matthew 4:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments, that's not the verse I wanted to give you. I'm sorry, that's not the verse I wanted to give you. It says, come and I will teach you to be fishers of men. The verse of Scripture I wanted to give you was, I wanted to teach you and I will make you fishers of men. He says in that verse of Scripture, come follow me. Y'all have heard that verse. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's the reason why He's saying, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. Because why? Because I want to make you a fisher of men. I don't want you to make you a fisher of men, Adam. He's not saying, I'm not going to make you, Adam. He said, Adam, you're not going to make yourself a fisher of men. Brother Mike, He's not going to say, you're going to make yourself a fisher of men. He says, I am going to make you a fisher of men. Why did He use fishermen during that period of time? Why do you think He used fishermen? Think about it. Four or seven, depending on which commentator you start and read about, four of seven of those individuals were either fishermen or had grown up in the fishing business. And so you got to say to yourself, well, wait a minute, why did He use that illustration? Remember, you go back to John chapter 1, they had already been called through salvation, but now when you look at, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men, now He wants to teach them. And He used fishermen for a specific reason. Why? Because they were busy people. Think about it. Some of y'all that are fishermen or fisherwomen, is that right? Fisherwomen? If you like to fish, put it that way. Okay? A lot of times when you look at fishermen, they're busy people. They're up early in the morning. They're come in late at night. Back in the day when I used to travel a lot more, I used to stay in Apalachicola. How many of y'all ever heard of Apalachicola over there in the panhandle? Okay? And where I used to stay at a lot of times, I'd be up early in the morning. Time to make the donuts. Time to make the donuts. And I'd get up early in the morning to get to the store to get prepped. And all of a sudden I see those fishing boats start to dock up and leave 2 hours before it was daylight. And when I come home that evening, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I'd see some of those boats still coming back into the Apalachicola Bay. Why? Because they were busy people. God wants to use us, but He wants us to be busy for Him. Courageous. They were going where no one else went before. Think about it from a spiritual sense. I'm telling you about fishermen, but think about it from a spiritual sense. Why did He use fishermen? Because they were courageous. They will go where no one else went before in hopes of finding the big fish. Same in our lives. As we are disciples of Christ, as God is using us, we should say, Lord, please open up a door for me. Help me to be a witness to somebody. Help me to show the testimony that maybe the light will come on in their lives and they can see the light of Christ in my life and possibly show them your testimony through it. Patience. Think about fishermen being patient. They have to be patient in what they're doing. They don't give up. Why? Because they've had one or two setbacks or disappointments. How many of y'all ever gone fishing and didn't catch anything? I have numerous times, okay? A fisherman is a patient individual. They will sit there and continue on and on and on. They might not catch anything, but you know what? They're going to come back again another day and go fishing, aren't they? Why? They're patient. They know that they can wait and despite being setbacks. They're skillful in what they do. They learn from others. They have open ears. They know their trade. They know the students. They're students of the trade. Here's a challenge. Are we students of our trade? We're called to be Christians. We're called to be disciples, disciple 101. Are we students of our trade? Do we take the time to sit and study and ponder? Last time I challenged you when I was up here, and I said, take some time if you have a long drive. Cut off Sean Hannity. Cut off Rush Limbaugh. Cut off the music stations. Cut off all that stuff and just spend some time in your car one-on-one with the Lord. And just say, Lord, show me something different. Show me something about your glory. Show me about the beauties that we live in. Show me something. Teach me something. Come, follow me, and I will make you. I don't want to be ugly. We can't be made unless we're willing. Amen? He's not going to make us unless we're willing. We have to have the want to be able to have the teach to in our lives. We have to let the Lord say, you know what, Lord, teach me, show me, help me, just like these fishermen were. Think about it, the fishermen who they were, courageous. They would go out in areas that had never been traveled before. They were skillful. They worked together. Uh-oh, here we go. Here's one, teamwork. You ever watch those Fisher shows? I watch them sometimes when I do have time to watch television. And they'll show the Natural Grid Geographic shows when those are out there fishing and they try to get all the big fish. And they're all working together to take that big net and bring those fish in the boat. Same in our lives as well. We all got to work together. Why? For the common goal. Number one, it's to see others to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, just like we have. But then also to be able to work together. Because think about it. We've all known churches who have had internal issues, haven't we? Think about it. We all have. We've all gone through it. What's your first thought when you see that going on? My goodness. Well, what's the world think when they hear about a church split or church people fighting with each other? Well, man, if they can't even get together, I don't know if I want to be part of that group. If they're going to fuss over the color of the rugs or the paint on the walls or whatever, 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 do I really want what they've got in their lives? Okay? So working together. Fishermen, they work together. The characteristic of a fisherman. And lastly, faithful. A couple Sundays ago, we live out there at Sharps Creek, and a couple Sundays ago, I brought Aubrey. We went out to the dock, and we were out there fishing, and I didn't bring my line. I just got some bad bread. I got some of that Sara Lee terrible white bread. And because they don't eat that terrible bread. They like our good bread. So I went over and bought some bread. We got some out of the freezer. We had little balls. I said, look at the fish down there, Aubrey. And she couldn't see it. She said, Papa, no fish. Papa, no fish. I said, watch. And we took some of the bread and we dropped it in the water and dropped it in the water and dropped it in the water. They still didn't come. I said, hang in there. They'll be out here. They'll be out here. And about 2 or 3 minutes later, here come all these crappie. And they come up there and they start grabbing all that bread and all that. We were patient. We waited. We were faithful because I said, they're going to come. They're going to come. No, they're not, Papa. I don't see no fish. And as they started to come, there's the fish. There's the fish. She was patient, but then she was also faithful in our lives as well. We've got to be faithful and then we got to be effective. So that's discipleship. But let's go to the next phase real quick. What about stewardship? We have discipleship, but then are we being good stewards? Okay, I got 15 minutes. Look at Luke chapter 16, 1 through 13. Go back to Luke chapter 16, 1 through 13. I won't be able to read it all, but we already learned about discipleship. Okay, discipleship comes after salvation. All of a sudden, we strive to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's through discipleship. But now we got to look through stewardship. Luke chapter 16, 1 through 13. I won't read it all, but look at 16, 1 and 2. 16, 1 and 2 says, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. That doesn't sound right, does it? He was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Uh-oh, something's wrong. Look at 11, verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit you to trust the true riches? Put your finger there for a minute. If I can't trust you with the little things, how in the world am I going to trust you with the big things? Basically, that's what it's saying. If I can't trust you with just the little things in your life, my goodness, how am I going to trust you with the big things in your life? Verse 12. And if ye have not faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We've heard that so often before. What is a steward? Back in the day, back in the Bible times, what a steward was, it was an individual. It was really called a house manager. And so what this steward would do is when the owner left, I guess you could almost call him like a COO, the chief operating officer of that house. And so when the owner left for a period of time, went on a business travel, the steward would stay at the house and watch things. He would watch the affairs of that owner. He would watch the financials. He would watch the land. He would watch the servants and the slaves that that individual may own and keep an eye on them while the owner was away. He was called a house manager. Webster says it's an owner that's away from business, would be a good definition. A manager acting and making decisions for an owner. Putting the talents God has blessed us with to good use, and we're entrusted to oversee them. Using the talents you possess. So, here's the challenge. Are we good stewards in our own Christian lives? We're disciples. We already talked about being good disciples. But let's take it to the next level. Okay, here's the baby step. Here's the first step, salvation. Here's the next step, disciple. Mark, are we ready to go to the third step? To be good stewards? Overseeing that which God has given us. If I can't trust you with the little things, can I really trust you with the big things? Lord, why aren't you using me? I mean, Lord, you know, I really want to be used of you. I want you to take my life and help me to be an example and help me to let others see Christ in me and open up doors of opportunities that I can walk through and maybe have an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. I'm a little bit bashful, but maybe it's just my testimony that I can say how the Lord saved me when I was going through a crisis in my life and how He's taken it and used it. And the Lord says, but I can't even trust you to be faithful to church. I can't even trust you to be faithful in just reading your Bible. How in the world can I allow you to go to that next step if you're still struggling over here, Brother Mike? I'm not saying Brother Mike. But I'm just saying as a whole. How can I trust you here if I can't even get you to come off of here? I can't give you the big things in life because you can't even handle the little ones. That's all about what stewardship is. Taking our lives and saying, Lord, don't know what you got in store for me, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to take care of the small things to allow you to open up doors of opportunities for me. Open up the windows of heaven and use me gratefully. And so you see, that's what stewardship is. J. Vernon McGee, he's one of the old-time preachers. Some of y'all probably have his books. He said, the forest would be silent if only the best singing birds sang. Think about it. The forest would be silent if only the best singing birds sang. So what that's telling me, he wants all of us to sing. He wants all of us to sing. You might not be able to sing. You might not be able to blow out a tune. But he said, you know what? He wants all of us to be part of it. And that's what stewardship is. It's all of us using the talents that God has given us as good stewards, overseeing. He's the manager. We are the CEO that's overseeing that which He's blessed us with. It says, we're not terminals of God's gifts where the trains will dock up and be stored at the end of, but we're to be channels through which God's blessings flow and the talents can flow through to help others. Don't be that little train terminal where all those trains come in and they park there at the terminal. He says, I want you to be a channel. I want you to take the talents that I've given you and allow them to flow. Why? Because you could help you and can help you and can help you and can help you. My blessings can help you. Don't be a bad steward, but allow your blessings to flow into others. So what are those? What are the gifts? You've probably heard these before. Real quickly. What are those gifts? What are those talents? What are those blessings that each and every one of us has been bestowed upon? You say, I don't think I've got a talent. Yeah, you do. Don't look. Yeah, you do. You got a talent. You got a blessing. God can use that. It might be small, but it'll be a blessing to somebody else. What are they? Call them the five T's. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. See if I got this one right. Yeah, I do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. What are the five T's? If you got a piece of paper and pencil, you might want to write these down. Maybe somewhere down the road you can look at them and say, you know what? I see where the Lord can use me here. I can see where the Lord can use me here. I see where the Lord has used me here. I see where the Lord can possibly open up a door here. The five T's. Write them down. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Here's what it says. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, here's that word, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says we are to be those good stewards, overseers of the manifold grace of God. The five T's, the first one, the first T that each of and every one of us has is time. The first T is time. We all have time. Some of us are on a rat race more than others. Some of us have got that treadmill turned up to about 4 minutes a mile, okay? But we all have some time in our lives. We all have time. Another J. Vernon McGee says, God seeks our times, our precious time, not our spare time. He don't want the seconds, amen? He wants the first fruits. Remember we talked about several weeks ago, we talked about the 10%, and I know that's Old Testament teachings, but in a week there's 168 hours. So if we give 10% to the Lord, that's how much? 16.8 hours to the Lord. I wonder how many hours we're really giving Him. Brother Howard, I wonder how many hours we're really giving Him. If you think about it. Think about how much time you might spend at church. You drive to church, okay. Your Bible time, your study time, your just your quiet time. Figure it out sometime. I think it'd kind of tickle or maybe make us really upset with ourselves. When we give the Lord 3 hours a week or 4 hours a week on 168 hours, I think that's about 2%, somewhere around there, 2.5%. Time. We all have time that we can give to Him. The book of James, life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Some of y'all that are more mature in age like I am, doesn't seem just like yesterday you graduated high school. Amen? I was talking to somebody the other day at work. They said, yeah, I'm going to my 40th high school reunion this week. And I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute, 76, 86, 96, 2006. Oh, man, that's my 40th year anniversary too. Tim, where has the years gone? I remember, I can imagine you think just yesterday you were changing the diapers. Amen? Doesn't seem just like yesterday we were doing things. We're out there running, acting crazy, having a great time, thinking, you know what? I got life by the horns. I'm going to live forever. And now it's like us and Ben Gay are like great friends, aren't we? Amen? You know? It's just like we're the best of friends, me and old Ben Gay. We're just like great friends. But you know what I'm saying? Life goes just like that, doesn't it? Garrett and I talk about it all the time. Man, it seemed like we just got married. It seemed like the kids... I can remember taking the kids to Kingsway football games on Friday night and watching charity play in college and doing all this stuff. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, life is like a vapor. And you know what? And I'm going to chase a rabbit. You don't realize it until you get older in life. Ain't that right, Brother Mike? You know, when you're younger, it's like, okay, we got this thing under control. Both hands on the wheel. But now as you get older, you say, wow, how many years have I spent and just missed out on opportunities that I could have been used more for the Lord or done different things in our lives? So the first one is T, time. A.W. Tozer, when you kill time, remember it has no resurrection. Think about that. When you kill time, it has no resurrection. It ain't coming back. That time that we've lost out on in the past, Brother Lee, it ain't coming back. It's not going to be resurrected. We can't get those times, those years that we've lost. It's not coming back. Number two, talents. Are we good stewards? Are we good stewards with the talents that we've been given? We've all been given talents by God. Have we been good stewards with them? We've all been given talents by God, but have we really been good stewards? Being that overseer, being that COO of the talents that He's given us to build up the body of Christ. And I've listed some of these talents. Think about, here's what I did when I was writing these down. This was kind of cool because people were coming to my mind here at Liberty. As I was writing down these talents, I tried to put a face to it. Do the same when I tell you a talent. Try to put a face to it. See who you think about at Liberty Baptist Church. Mercy. They have the talent of mercy. They have the talent of helps, patience, compassion, physical and spiritual compassion for others. They have that mercy talent. Somebody's hurt. Oh, I'm so sorry you're hurt. They almost start crying. I am so sorry you hurt. You closed your finger in the door out there. I'm so sorry that it happened to you. And they're so compassionate towards that individual. That's the mercy talent that some of us have. I don't have it. We did it. We did a study in there one time in our Sunday school class. We had to list all of our talents down. And mercy was like -5 for me. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I was like way down here somewhere. I just didn't have that talent in my life. Number 2 is teaching talent. Are we a good steward of being teachers of the Word? Every word that our mouth communicates should be out of the Word of God. Amen? Every word that comes out, whether you drink or eat or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That should be a talent in our lives. There's a TV show called Truths That Transform. I don't know who teaches that. It's on the religious station. Truths That Transform. I can't remember who it is, but it's so true. Truths That Transform. So teaching is one. Edifying. Think about somebody who's an encourager, an uplifter. Somebody who strengthens others, that's kind, that reminds others of God's goodness in their lives. Think about somebody at Liberty that way. Kind, uplifting, encouraging. Never having a bad day. It's like, don't you ever have a bad day in your life? You're always so positive. Everything's going so well in your life. And she says, give God the glory. It's all about Him. You're just sitting there saying, I can't believe you got that talent in your life. Okay, think about it. I'm sure we have people in here that are that way. Edifying, encouraging, uplifting, strengthening others. I already talked about that. Administration. The word administrative talent means a ship captain. Means somebody who directs the ship, steers the ship, gets it going in the right direction, even through turmoil. When the waves are rocking back and forth, that administration person moves that ship through, it navigates through and gets it through to safety. Somebody who's strong in administration. Somebody who's an organizer. You know somebody who's an organizer? Got strong administration. Giving. Somebody who sincerely gives and genuine. A good Samaritan. Think about the illustration of the good Samaritan. You had the religious Pharisees on one side. You had the man that was down. You had the good Samaritan came by and took care of that individual. They gave. Don't always think of giving as money. Get that out of our thought process. Because so often we say, oh yeah, they're a giver. Well, there's a lot of things you can give. You can give your time. You can give your talents. You can give your testimony. You can give other things as well. One who gives. And then another one is a serving ministry. A talent is somebody who serves. Really, in the Old Testament, it's called waiting on tables. If you were a server, you were one who waited on tables. You serve in love. You help others without regrets. You're not looking for any recognition. You're not looking for anything in return. You just serve. Buddy's not here. Buddy came to my mind because I thought about Buddy. He's a server. Buddy's always got that outgoing spirit. How you doing, buddy? I'm doing great. How you doing? Hey, you hear about the Falcons? You hear who they traded yesterday? You hear who the Braves? I mean, you just talk about Buddy. That's his buddy all the time, isn't it? But he's a worker. And here's what happens. If you've got a talent called serving, you're serving so that somebody else can use their talent. Because Buddy comes in here and cleans the church, it's allowing somebody else or some other people to use their talents for the glory of God. Amen? So if you're a server, think about it that way, Brother Jerry. You're serving. You're helping something to do something. Cleaning in the back. Staying over late. Washing the floor after a fellowship. Whatever it is, you're serving. Why? Because it allows somebody else time to use their talents in their lives. So you see all the different talents that we have. Thirdly, testimony. What's our walk? What's our talk like? Something oral, something written, or nonverbal? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I love being a Christian. Oh, yeah, I just love going to church and being in Sunday school. And yeah, do you really want to fellowship with somebody like that? No, you don't. There's a lot of different ways of communication. There's verbal communication, there's written communication, and there's nonverbal communication. And so often our nonverbal communication doesn't show what's on the inside. We might have the love of the Lord in our life and we love Jesus and we read the Bible and we go to church and we do everything right. But then when you get to work that day, you're like, you having a good day? I'm having a terrible day. I can't believe I'm here today. I don't feel so good. I don't even want to be here. I'd rather be at home watching Oprah and all them other TV shows. Okay? Your nonverbal communication does not exemplify what's inside. Okay? So remember, that's a talent as well in our lives. And then lastly, temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We won't get into it, but this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the living God. And then fifthly, the fifth one is treasures. The talents that we all have, the five T's, are teaching, testimony, temple, treasures, and then your talents. Luke 2:21-24, I won't read it, but it talked about the two mites. And it talked about the lady and the treasures. She had two mites. It said back in the day, the two mites were equal to about one half of a day's salary. But yet she gave two mites out of her poorness, but yet the religious leaders were giving it. And what were they doing? If you read back and study your scripture, the religious leaders were making sure they were putting money into place, but saying, look, I'm giving of my goods. Look at me, Tim. I'm putting in my coins, and I'm putting in my dineros, and I'm putting in my quadrillions it was called. I'm putting in all this. Look. And the old lady just said, you know what? I have but two mites. She puts it in the plates and goes on. Your treasures, your time, your talents, your testimony, and your temple. God can use those. But remember, we got to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. Brother Mike.